The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Campaigning groups for children's rights are calling for major changes in the government's new online safety legislation. Recently, members of the Children's Rights Alliance held a high-profile political discussion focusing on the safety of children and young people when they are online, and the event heard from representatives from all the main political parties. Joining me to talk about all of this is Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Tanya, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Now, the dangers online, I mean, we can list them. The likelihood that a child may be groomed by a sexual predator, viewing violence online. Then there's bullying by people they know, for instance. Targeted by advertising, being exposed to hate speech. It goes on and on and on.
It goes on and on and on. And I mean, I think the best way to describe the digital world or the online world, it's risky by design, to be quite frank. It hasn't been designed with children and young people in mind. And that's despite the fact they make up about a third of global users on the internet. And I suppose we're on the cusp now of regulating, trying to make the online world less risky for children and young people to actually engage on it.
Now, how do you do that? I mean, some of the companies say, look, we have age verification. You can't get on unless.
Well, that's not true. because essentially what the companies are relying on the fact is that your parent will decide whether you can go online or not. And the truth is, a piece of work was done by CyberSafe Ireland here in Ireland, CyberSafe Kids, and they found that it was pretty easy for most children to actually get online. There weren't enough blockers. They could pretend to be someone much older. So the kind of age verification mechanisms on a lot of the platforms, they're just not sufficient to actually safeguard children from going online. And that's despite the fact, I mean, the platforms are well aware that the users of these platforms are children, and they can tell that by their behavioural patterns and what they're actually looking at, what they're downloading, what they're communicating about.
And do they then target these children with age-appropriate advertising, knowing, you know, because they can target me individually, separately, depending on what I've Googled, what I've watched or whatever, or what I've posted, they can target me.
Yeah.
So are they doing that to children?
But that's one of the interesting things that's happening. And in fact, YouTube in the US, you know, for years, I think the platforms persisted with the notion, look, we don't know who's online, and so you can't hold us accountable. But actually what they were doing was they were able to work out that the users were children, and they were targeting with toy ads, you know, ads that would appeal to them, and so they got fined for that. But that's certainly the experience that children will be having. But at the same time, children are being exposed to content that's just not appropriate. You're seeing young children and young teenagers being subjected to cosmetic procedures, lip implants, you know, all these kind of things that they're trying to sell at a very young age. And then we're also seeing, and this is what's really worrying as well, and it's the thing that really disturbs me, I think, as a parent, that it's not even a debate about freedom of expression. A lot of these platforms have algorithms that are designed to keep you online as long as possible, and to do that, they know if they expose you to extreme content, you're more likely to stay there. So that's why they're getting exposed to violence. It's why they're getting exposed to anorexia content, is that there's actually algorithms driving them towards that content.
Now, do you have any template from anywhere in the world, from any government, from any jurisdiction, where they have an age verification process that actually works?
Well, I mean, it's a really interesting thing, because I think a lot of governments have tried it and some have failed. I mean, the UK government tried it for pornography websites. And what they were going to do was the big Pornhub, the big provider, was created a new kind of platform where you would give your passport details and all your identity documents. But effectively what you would have happening there is, you know, to protect your 12-year-old, maybe your 18-year-old is handing over their passport to a porn website. And so that failed. As you can imagine, when people understood the implications of that, I think certainly we need to have blocking systems in place to stop young people online from coming across this content. And they do have algorithms that can tell if you're a child or not. That's probably the direction of travel we need to be going in. But at the
we depend on the tech companies themselves to bring about this change.
This is it. And we put the onus and responsibility on them to make sure that children cannot access this content. I mean, The National Council on Online Safety published a study last year in 2021 that found that in their survey, about 40% of 8 and 9 year olds had smartphones. I said smartphones. Yeah. That means that they're going on the internet and they can explore anything they want. And we know that particularly young children get very disturbed by accessing this type of content. And they're not always able to tell their parents, or they're afraid to tell their parents because they think their smartphone is going to be taken away from them. So the most important thing we can do, I think, as a society, make sure these platforms prevent these children from accessing content that's just harmful to them.
Now, I'll talk to you in a moment about what we might do in our legislation to try and advance that process. But one of the things which is, doesn't depend on international actors to damage children is children damaging children by bullying.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, photographs, it can be just abuse or whatever. And the thing is, if you make a complaint, how quickly is it taken down?
Yeah. I mean, this is huge. Like every time you talk to children and young people, they say this is the biggest blight in their lives. About 1 in 4 children and young people would be exposed to some form of bullying. And it's mostly, Pat, it's they're either being excluded by from a discussion or a conversation, or somebody is posting content, as you say, that is designed to embarrass them.
Now, that stuff you can target. You can say, yes, I can take that down if you have a mind to, if you're a platform. The other stuff, exclusion, sending people to Coventry, yeah. That's hard.
And I think the best way you can deal with that is through education. The Law Reform Commission talked about, you know, every child getting a good citizenship education, that you learn about how your behaviour impacts on other children and young people. Mm. And I think that's a gap, to be honest. You know, we're not giving children and young people the right toolkit that they need to learn about how their behaviour impacts other children and young people.
Yeah. But I mean, for example, if I'm excluded from a WhatsApp group, what can I do? Because,
well,
you know, anyone can set up a WhatsApp group and, you know, I might be in group A, which includes me, but there's a group B that does not include
and
me.
And it's very hard. There's not really much you can do if other groups of children in your school decide to exclude you. But you'd hope the school would have a really good approach to talking to children about their behaviour, about how their exclusionary behaviour impacts on other children and young people. But as you say, one of the other big things impacting on young people is content that's been posted that they are finding very distressing. The platforms are taking too long to take it down, and they can go on for years, and they can be bullied about it for years. And that's one of the things we need to see being addressed in our legislation going forward.
Now, TikTok have said that it has taken industry leading steps to promote a safe and age appropriate experience for teens. They say we removed 62 million videos in the first quarter of 2021. So this is not quite up to date, but 62 million videos in the first quarter of 2021 for violation of our community guidelines, 82% of which were removed before they had received a single view.
Yeah.
So that would suggest they're doing something right.
They're the industry leader. Yeah,
okay.
They are definitely the industry leader. And I'm sure there's more that TikTok could be doing, but they're actually the industry leader when you compare them with other platforms at the moment.
Now, our legislation, where is it at the moment? Is it committee stage or is it further advanced? And what changes do you want made?
Well, the Oireachtas is going through the Online Safety and Media Regulation Bill at the moment. And so, look, it's cutting edge stuff because Ireland will be one of the first countries in Europe to attempt to regulate these platforms when it comes to how they're treating children and young people. There's a lot of good in it. There's going to be an online safety commissioner. They'll require platforms to develop a code of practice. We're hoping that leads to safety by design. So you're going to get these platforms to think about the impact their product is having on children and young people. Will it make them less safe before they even introduce it onto the market? But I suppose for us, one of the big things, as you say, is being able to make a complaint to a platform. That's going to be very important. But if they don't respond, and this is the experience in unfortunately, with some of the platforms, they take too long to respond and they're not consistent. And so sometimes content can stay up there for way too long. What you need is something independent that you can go to if the platform hasn't followed through in the complaints.
In other words, when you can't get through to the passport office, you go to your TD.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah,
or you
yeah.
go to the ombudsman if you can't get satisfaction.
Yeah.
But it has to be timely because the damage of something remaining up which should be taken down
right.
can be very serious in a very short number of days or weeks.
That's right. I mean, and it could be as bad as revenge porn. I mean, that's the kind of content we're talking about here. So we'd like to see the new online safety commissioner have the capacity to take complaints when every port of call has failed, that there's a final hurdle. Because and look, you're talking about children and young people up against the most richest, powerful companies in the world. You have to give them some sort of recourse if the companies don't deliver.
Yeah, and at that timeline, I mean, that if they don't do something within a certain time, that they are penalised. You know, they make a promise under whatever code they institute.
Yeah.
If they don't deliver, they face a fine. Here we go again about child safety online, says a texter. Children should not have smartphones. How many times and in how many ways does that basic truth have to be repeated? No smartphone, no unsupervised access to social media, dodgy internet sites, online groomers, etc. If you don't have the device, you can't be affected. Is that the real world, though?
Well, you see, I think children were online long before the smartphones came into play. And obviously with the smartphone, it has just speeded up the whole process. Yeah. So what do you do? We already know 8 and 9 year olds have smartphones already. Their parents have decided they can have them. So we need to actually get real about, okay, we need to educate them. We need to support them about to keep safe online, but we need to make the online world safer. And the other thing I think when it comes to smartphone usage and having it, you know, there is something there about a parent thinking about whether it's right for their child to have a smartphone or not. Like I've decided I don't want my child to have a smartphone yet until he gets to secondary school. And it's because the level of supervision I'd have to engage in, I just don't want to do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't want him on it every moment of the day. But he's still online. He's still getting to develop all the skills he needs to be online. I might feel differently. And this is one of the things parents will say and children will say. When other kids in the class have the smartphone, they feel very excluded. So it really depends on a case-by-case basis. Yeah.
And also maybe schools should have a rule, you know, a dumb phone up to sixth class, you can have your first smartphone in first year, whatever, because kids will always say, but I need to contact my dad, my mom, because they're picking me up, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So communication is important. The other question I would like to see addressed, obviously, is if you have some sort of officer protecting the children, that they might become, you know, proactive, become mystery shoppers, attempt to test the systems put in place by the social media platforms and maybe catch them out.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's an organisation based in London, the Fire Rights Foundation, who've actually done that. They published a report recently where they created 13-year-old avatars.
Yeah.
They created profiles, went onto the platforms to see what would happen. And, of course, boys and suddenly were being given pornography. Adult men were contacting these profiles, these avatars, offering sex, essentially. If the profile said she was a girl, she was being offered anorexia content and extreme dieting content. So that's the kind of stuff you'd love to see an online safety commissioner do. And you know, what was really surprising for me about the Five Rights Foundation report was exactly what the Frances Hain said, who's a whistleblower in relation to Meta. All the stuff, actually, they found that in the research that they did.
Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.